Wednesday, time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. With us on the line from Rapid City is Denise Ross, web editor of the Mitchell Daily Republic. And Denise, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Carl. I don't know if we have time to cover all the latest. There's so much going on in politics right now.
Well, we'll just cover a few of the latest, a little bit of the latest. And joining us from Pierre is David Montgomery, political reporter with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And David, thanks for coming on the program as well.
Good to be on.
Well, David, since you're there in Pierre, we're in the third week of the legislative session so far. What are you seeing as far as the big issues being discussed?
There's a couple of issues that I think are getting a lot of attention. One is the Common Core curriculum, which had a surprising vote in the House last week, where the a bill to study the issue ended up losing in the Senate. Education funding is a related issue. Just this morning, legislative committee gave a stamp of approval to an increase in the per student formula. It's far from passing, but certainly a lot of interest there. Fierce debate over Medicaid expansion, and a number of social issues that happens every year. A lot of talk about firearms and gun rights. Talk about same-sex marriage, there's probably going to be other issues that come up as wild cards. We haven't even gotten to the death penalty debate yet this year, and then that's certainly going to occupy a lot of attention.
Denise Ross, all these things pretty much, you think, expected as we were getting into the legislative session?
Yeah, I think we could have seen these things coming. I mean, Common Core has been, the opposition to that has been building, and it's on both sides of the political aisle. It's the liberals and the conservatives, and I think the biggest complaint you hear is that it wasn't done in the open. They just feel like they don't know. They feel like it was snuck in somehow, all these new standards for education. And that's kind of the unifying complaint on both sides of the aisle. And so I guess we're just going to have to, you know, as you can see, the people who are supporting it are quite well organized, too, as they were able to kill that bill that would have just studied it. That's all that bill was going to do was study it, and that didn't make it through. So this is probably going to be buttoned up fairly soon. They got it right out of the gate, and so I think we will move on to, like, a second phase of the legislature with the death penalty and some other issues. Medicaid expansion is getting talked about. We'll probably see legislation coming in towards the end of session on that one.
Well, David Montgomery, you're in the state capitol. You're covering the legislature for the Argus Leader. Are you aware of any sort of mood in the capitol? Or is it pretty much the same as it is every year?
I think it's really hard to say. I think it's been a slow start so far this year. Last year, there's the theme of everybody all getting along with that after some pretty fierce fights the year before, as a focus on comity and getting along last year. And this year, I don't think there's any one single theme that's dominating yet, but it's still relatively early.
Well, Denise Ross, I believe you've attended at least one of the legislative cracker barrels in Rapid City. As far as the people who've been attending these meetings, are there certain issues that are on the minds of people?
Yeah, well, we just had one in Rapid City, and it was right after the first week of session when almost nothing happens but the State of the State address. And I went in thinking, well, this was ill-timed because there won't be much to talk about. Well, as it turned out, it was a very lively Cracker Barrel. The Cracker Barrels out here in Rapid City are very well attended. It takes a whole classroom building at the School of Mines, you know, one of those large lecture halls, to hold the crowd. And it was Common Core. That was a very big issue, and Medicaid expansion. There was some talk about funding for the pine beetle out here in the Black Hills. The governor did slash funding for that in his budget this year. And so there were some people concerned, and there will be a bill coming to restore that funding, and we'll just have to see how that goes. And then there was talk, and I think Vicki Wicks, your reporter, was there too. I think she put a story together on this. Talk about having a constitutional convention at the national level. That was how the Cracker Barrel ended up. And there was at least a half a dozen legislators who got up and talked about how they had gone to a meeting out in Virginia to kind of organize this constitutional convention. I was absolutely intrigued by what that might bring, but I don't know any more than what I just told you and what Vicki probably reported on the air.
Yeah, David, what is happening with that?
I haven't been much movement on that yet, but a number of legislators, some of the most conservative lawmakers, are trying to take the lead on this. It's the sense that they're trying to force a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which, of course, Republicans have been trying for decades, but have never been able to get through Congress. And they want to go to bypass Congress altogether. But then there's concerns that if you call state conventions to propose new amendments to the Constitution, that you're not the only side that can do it, and the other side could propose amendments that you wouldn't like so much. So there's a lot of, it's sort of a split among conservatives, among the right wing, which some people will think this is the way to save the country, and other people will think it's a Pandora's box that could be opening up.
Yesterday at the state capitol, Democratic State Representative Susan Wismer from Britain announced that she's entering the governor's race. That makes her the second Democrat to announce a run for governor. Former state wildlife chief Joe Lowe is also running. And David, going to you again. I'm assuming you were at her announcement yesterday, wondering what it was she said and why she wants to be governor.
She didn't get into a ton of specifics. She didn't lay out an elaborate campaign platform, and I mean, to be fair, a few candidates to do with their announcement. Generally, she criticized Governor Nistugard's budget approach, particularly the steep cuts that he implemented in 2011, and that has held the line against returning to the status quo since then. Brought up the issue of the minimum wage, calling for a higher working wage for South Dakotans. So that's also something that Joe Lowe has endorsed. But generally, a lot of talk about her South Dakota roots and growing up in northeast South Dakota and all that. A lot of biography stuff along with a couple political statements.
Well, Denise Ross, I'm wondering, you're in Rapid City. Susan Wismer is from northeastern South Dakota. Wonder how well she's known outside of that part of the state.
Well, I do think, that Joe Lowe, having been her primary opponent, and he is from out here in the Black Hills, and he was also the top firefighter for the state under Bill Janklow and Mike Rounds, and that during the time when we had some really big fires. So I think he probably has a higher profile statewide just from that exposure. And so I think even though she's been in the legislature, being on that appropriations committee like she has been is just invaluable experience for understanding how state government works. But I do think her challenge will be the name ID and just getting her brand out there so people understand who she is and what experience she has. I think it's easy, for somebody like Joe Lowe, he's got a very public job or has had a very public job and people know who he is and what he does. It's a little bit more difficult to explain what you do in the legislature and how you understand how that experience translates into the governor's job. But being on the Appropriations Committee is absolutely the best training ground for any legislator to get to go up to the or down to the second floor. I guess the legislature's on the third floor and the governor's on the second floor in the Capitol building. But that will be her challenge, is the name ID.
Well, Denise, just right out of the box, as a Democrat, does she just start out with an uphill battle?
Oh, of course. The voter registration in South Dakota is heavily tilted towards the Republicans. But there have been election cycles where the Democrats have struggled to field any statewide candidates for some of these major offices. Senator John Thune ran unopposed in 2010. There was no Democrat to challenge him. So the fact that they have two people running in a primary, I think, will only help them because they will have a debate. Those issues will be covered by the press, and they will probably come out with a better general election candidate by having a primary just because of the conversations that will go on.
Susan Wismer, we should note, is the second woman running for governor. Republican Laura Hubbell also seeking the office. David Montgomery, how noteworthy is that? Is that worth mentioning that we have two women running for governor?
It is potentially very noteworthy. South Dakota is one of about half the states in the country that have never elected a female governor. So we're not exactly unusual there, but we are unusual that we're one of 10 states that has never even nominated a woman for governor on a major party candidate, a major party ticket. So if Wismer beats Lowe, or if, in a considerably less likely scenario, Hubbell were to unseat Nugard, either one would make history, even if they went on to lose in the general election. So I think most of the action with female governors has happened in the past several decades, and it looks like there's a decent chance South Dakota is going to take a step in that direction in this upcoming year.
Well, David, when do you expect Governor Dugard to announce that he's running for re-election?
His official announcement will probably come at some point after the legislative session. He's been pretty clear on that all along. In practice, he's already running for re-election. He's been raising money pretty much consistently since the last election. And there's no real doubt as to what he's doing. But the official announcement will come in March or April.
Well, in another race that a Democrat is engaged in, Democrat Karina Robinson is launching her campaign for the U.S. House this week. A number of appearances in the eastern part of South Dakota. That's the seat currently held by Republican Kristi Noem. Denise Ross, what sort of campaign do you expect her to run against Kristi Noem?
You know, I have not met her. I've heard that she's rather soft-spoken. She has a career in the military, which I think will serve her very well. I think that's something that translates well into a political campaign, especially out here in a red state like South Dakota. And so, you know, I have not had a chance to meet her yet, but I think from what I have read about her, she looks like she will be a real candidate. She will run a real race, and there will be real issues to discuss, and I actually look forward to getting to know more about her, which I'm guessing the voters are probably looking forward to as well. And then you've got Kristi Noem, who has had her ups and downs in her term so far, but it does seem like, you know, she's getting her sea legs a little bit more. I've seen her on national TV doing really well on appearances, and it just seems like she's improving as an office holder and as a politician. So it will be a very interesting race.
Do you think, David Montgomery, that Karina Robinson will be able to appeal to more than just the Democrats?
Yes, she'll be able to appeal to more. Whether she can get a majority is considerably more in doubt. Representative Noem has already proved herself politically, taking advantage of the wave election to unseat a popular incumbent, Stephanie Hirsa Sandlin, and then beating off a competent challenger last year in Matt Varelek. Robinson is a different candidate than Varelek and could potentially pose a stronger challenge to Noem, but Noem, as an incumbent, a good fundraiser, and a Republican in South Dakota, still has all the major advantages.
Well, to talk about something that we've been discussing quite a bit over, I'd say, a couple of years now in the Political Junkies, today the U.S. House passed the Farm Bill that was approved by the House and Senate negotiators on Monday. Denise Ross, what has been the response so far in South Dakota? Generally positive among farm groups and people here?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is just so relieved. I think we're collectively waiting to exhale. I think anybody wants to really believe this is finally over until maybe it gets signed by the president. But I've seen, you know, nobody is in love with this farm bill that I've seen, but everybody seems just to be happy that we finally have an agreement. Tim Johnson is really happy that his country of origin meat labeling survived another round of pretty vigorous challenge. You know, there are some reforms in there that people like, but they don't go as far as everyone wants them to go. So this is, I guess, the nature of democracy. You get a compromise that nobody loves but everybody can live with. And I just, you know, I can't... We've been talking about this issue, I think, since you started doing this show, Carl. And so the fact that it might almost be over is just... I'm still pinching myself to see if this really, really comes and passes the floor vote.
Well, David Montgomery, this is a bipartisan bill. And like Denise said, no one's exactly completely happy with it. Does this sound like it was a pretty big accomplishment that negotiators came to an agreement?
Well, it depends on your perspective, I guess. Given the current environment in the House and the tortured path that the Farm Bill has taken, I think it counts as a pretty significant achievement that they were able to finally reach an agreement that could satisfy apparently both sides. It still has a Senate hurdle to clear, but it seems likely to do so. The question is whether, in the broader scheme of things, we should how much Hosanna the Congress should be getting for managing to pass a farm bill, which is something they're supposed to be doing every couple of years. Question, I don't know whether we're setting the bar too low if we trumpet this as a major accomplishment or not.
Well, South Dakota's Kristi Noem was on the conference committee. She signed the final report. Getting back to that campaign, I don't think she's actually announced that she's running for re-election. Everyone's kind of assuming that she is. Denise, I think that's important to her campaign that the farm bill has passed. At least we'll see yet if it actually gets passed and signed.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, let's hope. I mean, oh my gosh, what a disaster it will be if it doesn't. But anyway, I think it doesn't hurt her, and I don't know how much it helps her, but it certainly would have hurt her if this thing just had continued to drag on and we just went into a free fall with no farm bill. And I think, you know, I said before she had some ups and downs, and one of the downs was that they didn't get the farm bill passed before, and they had to do a one-year extension, and then even that one-year extension expired. And I think it just... it was one of those things where I think the ag community was willing to wait and be patient, but you could sort of feel everybody getting more tense and more nervous as this thing drug on. So, you know, I think the fact that it finally got resolved and everyone's probably ready to put this all behind us and move on to the next big fight, I guess.
Yeah, David Montgomery, do you agree with Denise's statements? Comments?
I think this is unquestionably a political win for Kristi Noem. Had the Congress failed once again to pass a farm bill, that would have left a real opening for Karina Robinson. And the fact that she passed it and was so intimately involved in getting it passed is a major plus for her.